I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo.
A gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into a new episode of The Memo on this Thursday, March the 10th, 2016. Brad Locke here with you, along with Mr. W. Derek Russell. Hello, Derek.
Morning, Bradley.
You look distracted today.
Do I?
Yeah, well, like you actually have work to do or something.
Well, that's just about every day, Brad. I hate to tell you.
Yeah, same thing with me. I wake up every day and I'm like, I still got work to do.
It's, you wake up every morning and, go, and look in the mirror and go, why? Why do I still have that on my face?
Speaking of which, they announced the different awards they're going to be giving out.
Yeah, I started this, and you made the same joke I was going to, and you really did. I saw it about 20 minutes before you posted it and on Facebook, and I really thought about sharing it and saying the exact same thing. And then after you shared it, I was going to add, you've already won it in my book. But now that I've told the joke, you can explain.
I've got it in the bag. Yeah, the different awards, they got like...
For Mustache Bash.
Right, Mustache Bash, which is next Saturday, the 19th. Best Bash Costume, the Crustache Award. That's like the best lip fuzz. I guess that's for people who can't really grow mustaches that well. The Artist, which would be the... I guess the best styled or groomed facial hair. I won't win that one. The Creeper is the one I'm going for. Described as the stash that's not allowed within 1,500 feet of a school.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the one I'm
going for. You already won it in my book.
I believe that J.B. Clark has won that award before, hasn't he? Does that sound right?
I wouldn't surprise me. Yeah, J.B., former Vernon White.
What did you go as last year? I don't remember.
I just went in regular
clothes.
You
were dressed in... I thought you were dressed
in
something.
No, I had on a t-shirt and underneath just a button-up shirt. I didn't dress up.
I went as the Bandit 2 years ago.
The Bandit.
As in Smokey and the Bandit.
Nice.
I even colored it black.
Nice.
I had not shaved for a while, so it was...
Wow.
I wish I'd seen everything off with the mustache, and then I colored the mustache black. Nice. Last year, I was doing what you were doing. I had gone the handlebar all the way.
Really?
Down, yeah.
I don't remember that.
Mm-hmm.
I have to go creep your Facebook photos to look back at that.
Creepy. Yeah,
I mean, which I would be doing normally anyway.
Yeah, but. I know you do that a lot.
the Lumber Sexual is kind of one I'd like to win too, though.
I don't think you can go for that. I mean, flannel, you might could.
I might could pull it off.
You have to wear some flannel to get that one on.
Yeah. Then there's the Master Stash, best overall.
You will not win that.
I don't think so.
No.
Okay. Well, anyway.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news on that one. But.
So that's next Saturday. Bad news, speaking of things to do around here that are fun, no craft beer festival this year. They announced that yesterday.
Whatsoever?
None this year. Huh. I don't know. They don't say why, but I follow them on Facebook, and they said, just can't do it this year, which is extremely disappointing
to me. It is hard to do an event in Tupelo because there's so much to do, especially when it comes to event season.
True. I mean, yeah, the spring is pretty packed.
Spring and summer, it's hard to, and really late summer into early fall, it is hard to make anything
like
that happen.
We got barbecue duel coming up. We got Nola Putt at something within the next month or two.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't last year's craft beer festival the same day as Mustache Bash?
It was. That was a fun day. Yeah, got to do the craft beer festival that afternoon, and then went to the bash. That's right, went to the bash that night. That was a memorable day. So, but yeah, no craft beer festival. They're going to try to bring it back next year, they said. So it's like not completely dead, unlike the Mustache Bash, which this is apparently the last one.
Maybe that's not coincidence. Maybe they lost people from it being on the same day, so they didn't want to compete with Mustache Bash, and they'll bring it back afterwards.
I don't know. I mean, I thought they had a pretty decent turnout last year. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's just something with the distributors, or if it's...
It's probably just timing.
Yeah.
Well, they couldn't do it the same day this year because Barbecue Festival is...
Right, that's the same
Fair
day.
Park.
Now, I had heard initially they're going to do it, push it back to like May, but I guess they're just not going to... Even that wouldn't work.
I don't know.
You should do it in the fall. Well, except you got college football, I guess, but that'd be weather-wise, it'd be a great time for...
Yeah, it would be.
Seems like if you could work it out with when the city does, then there may be reasons. The city doesn't want the Pigskins in the park. That would be a good get.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, so
the
I'm really going to miss that because there's like
a festival together.
It was like $40 for a ticket, but you go in and they give you a little glass. You can just go around and sample tons of different beers all day. And it's just a great way to spend your day and get to find some new beers that you like. So I will definitely miss that this year.
I didn't know what you were doing there.
What am I doing? Oh, my screen was going black there.
Oh, okay. You're blacking out.
Just scrolling Facebook.
It's okay.
So
stalking.
Yeah.
I understand.
Looking at my notifications. Oh, Glenn Payne likes my comment. I posted a selfie on somebody's.
You posted a selfie? No way, Brad.
Me post a selfie? See, look at that. I have no idea. That was like 10 minutes ago.
Good grief. You just Facebook, your Facebook wall is nothing but pictures of you.
Well, this is someone else's wall.
So. I mean, it's good because there's evidence for when you're obviously going to be incarcerated.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't look like that guy, though. That guy that from police reports yesterday.
I would feel more comfortable with him than I would
I
you.
Don't think I would. Yeah. Police reports from yesterday. Go check that out. That guy's a... You could just win the creeper award. Oh, look. There's a selfie of me. Oh, God. There's another selfie of me.
Go back up.
There's some ice cream.
No, go back up.
Hold on. There's me and Ashley Prince.
I don't care. Go back up.
Hold on. Looking for more. There's me and two other guys.
Stop
That one? Took that one yesterday.
Where are you sitting there, Brad?
Sitting right in here before I did the high school podcast.
Where are you sitting?
It was in this chair, but kind of in the middle. It was not in your chair. I don't like your chair.
What are you using there?
Your mic. I use your mic for the high school podcast every week.
I got a Clorox this thing now.
I didn't get my stash on it.
That's fine. You better not have. Looks like a green microphone windscreen there.
Sure is. I use your mic every Wednesday.
And Monday, too.
And Gene uses mine.
Capital View.
Oh, yeah, Capital View. I use it twice a week. Quit. People don't want to hear that.
That's fine.
Your mic.
We're just got to clean that right off there.
Okay. A little Windex.
It's Thursday.
It is Thursday.
Don't get it wet.
What do we got going on this Thursday, Derek?
Well,
have you even looked at the script?
Yes, I will. Dennis Sid will be joining us. So will Thomas Wells, as well as Scott Morris, and then myself will be talking about Scene. Oh,
looky there.
Oh, I am so... Drop the mic. Good grief. Don't come in here. Don't come at me unless you got something to bring, son.
Okay.
I think that microphone's going to give that mustache. I can't even say the M words correctly. That mustache gives you some kind of power over me.
It has that effect on a lot of
people. I got my eye on you through this whole show. I'm just going to be over here.
What are you doing?
I'm going to have to stand over here to watch you.
Oh, you just keep an eye on me over there.
I don't trust you.
Trying to get as far away from me as possible. There's a wall right
there.
You can't go very far.
Yeah, you'd be surprised.
Got you hemmed in.
I can climb that thing.
Yeah. I think so.
Like a spider monkey. Let's get started. We're going to be joined by Dennis Sid on today's episode. Dennis, how you doing today?
I am fine. How are you doing, Derek?
I'm doing well. You're our resident business expert. And on the business side of things, of course, that deals with Tupelo Regional Airport.
Yes. Yes, it does.
But good news for the area. Air travel will return there soon, correct?
Well, commercial air service will return. We're going to find out March 22nd when they'll have this announcement from the airline, which is called Contour Airlines. That's the name of the airline that
I'm doing all their sound
management.
Over work.
Yeah.
They've called, so.
They'll be announcing when the start date will be, and there'll be 30 flights a week between Nashville and Tupelo on this twin-engine Jetstream airplane, seating 9 folks at a time. So we'll get all the gory details on March 22nd.
Now, you were in attendance of the airport board meeting Tuesday night, is that correct?
Yes, I was, all 3 hours and 36 minutes of it.
How is the Tupelo Regional Airport right now?
Well, they just had
a tumbleweed come through, or
well,
the
you know, the
jetway.
They do have general aviation going on, you know, private aviation. Mm-hmm. So you know, they're doing okay. They're actually making money on that end. It's just the commercial aviation.
But you don't actually have to go through the airport
for
those that own their own planes or private charters.
You go to the FBO. I was sitting in the terminal all by my lonesome thinking I could do the old OJ commercial and hurdle the old...
Hertz.
You know, yeah, Riddle. Exactly. But then I thought the reference probably... Never mind.
So March 22nd, we're on pins and needles waiting to find out more details. This is only going to get us to Nashville, though, correct, as you said?
Only to Nashville, yep, yeah. For the time being. That's what the bid was for, but you know, if this works out, maybe they'll extend it to Atlanta or Dallas or something. But we have to get people on the planes first, flying to Nashville, and we'll see what happens.
All right, exciting times for the Tupelo area.
Yes, indeed. High flying.
Dennis, thanks for joining us today.
Need to remind y'all about the two sports podcasts that we have here, produced by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Prep Rally, high school sports podcast with Gene Phelps and myself, had a new episode drop yesterday, Wednesday, talking about the high school state basketball tournament going on right now in Jackson. A handful of area teams still in the running for a championship. And also, a double coverage, new episode coming today, MSU and Ole Miss Sports Talk with Logan Lowry and Parrish Alford. Check out that new episode this afternoon at some point. You can listen to these podcasts on iTunes or your podcast app. And for Prep Rally, you can also check it out online, preprally.djournal.com. And double coverage is doublecoverage.djournal.com.
Brad, who are we looking at that's still alive in the basketball tournament? I saw Tupelo High lost last night, right, in the semifinals?
Tupelo lost to Starkville. Tonight, we've got two area teams playing for state titles, Ashland in 1A boys and Corinth in 4A boys. So championship round begins today, Thursday. We've got, I know...
Starkville, who beat Tupelo, they'll obviously be playing for state.
Right, Starkville's playing Columbus, I believe, on a Saturday in 6A. I know we've got Boonville's girls playing Saturday in 3A, and we've got Ingomar's girls playing in 2A. I believe that is tomorrow.
Great. Well, good luck to all the area teams.
Good deal. Hey, looky here. We've got Thomas Wells on the program, chief photographer of the Daily Journal. Tomas,
howdy, howdy.
How's it going, man?
It's going.
Good.
Another day, another dollar.
Staying busy?
Unfortunately.
You're the chief photographer. You're going to stay busy, aren't you?
Yes, unfortunately. Yeah. I haven't figured out a way to get paid and not work.
If you're chief photographer, who keeps you in line?
You know, right now, I guess it's Charlie as best he can.
Poor Charlie.
I know. He should get hazard pay for that.
Charlie Langford. Yeah. People don't know. Charlie's our production editor. Is that his title?
Managing editor design, I believe.
Whatever.
Yeah. Production and design.
Production and design.
Anyway. Yeah. One of those behind-the-scenes guys that... people don't know about. But Thomas, people know what you do because they see your pictures all the time in the paper and online at djournal.com. And this past week, of course, we do this photo essay thing every Monday. We've been doing the past few months. That's really cool. You go out, find something that you really kind of strikes your fancy as a photographer, take a bunch of pictures of it, and we run a big photo package every Monday on page 2A and, of course, on the website as well. This week, Thomas, again, it was in Monday's paper. If you missed it, check it online as well. Okolona College, which is no longer an active college.
Correct.
It's a bunch of rundown. It's a rundown campus.
Correct.
But where is it exactly located?
If you're going down 45, old 45 into Okolona, it's on your right-hand side. It's on the west side of the road. If you're coming out of Okolona, it'll be on your left-hand side of the road. It's kind of recessed off the road. If you're not paying attention, you will drive right past it, especially
really?
If you're going into Okolona, because it's recessed behind some trees and some old, you know, shrubbery or whatever. It is kind of hard to see if you're not really looking for it.
How big is the campus it used to be?
Size of the Grove.
Oh, okay.
That's about the size of the entire campus.
Yeah. Small
school.
Yeah,
small school. What struck my fancy about that building is, you know, we started doing stories about on it 15, 20 years ago when I first moved here.
Yeah.
Well, we had one of the buildings burned down in 2002 due to arson or something along that line. They were still using them in the community for like meeting houses or whatever because they were still in somewhat good shape.
Yeah.
But now over the years, they don't have any funding. Archives aren't going to give them any money to refurbish them. They need to raise money. Not really going to happen, you know, unfortunately. And they were down to four buildings and two of them have completely collapsed on themselves.
Really?
You can't even see those. And then these two buildings that are left standing, and the one I photographed was the old administration building.
Yeah.
Which is really cool because it's solid concrete. I mean, the walls are 3.5 feet thick, so it's not like it's going to fall in anytime soon. So, and if you drive by it, it kind of looks like a little ghost town. It's kind of eerie, but it's really neat because it's got, you know, I think it's funny. It's got the old safe in there with it's
saw
open.
That.
Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised nobody's closed the safe and locked it, but they haven't. It's still standing there wide open. It has Okolona Normal College across the top of it still.
Wow. And that school.
Tornado shelter.
The tornado
shelter. Yeah, probably. It's probably what it was built for.
Probably so.
Now you could use it. Climb inside.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That school closed like, what, 50-something years ago?
Closed in 65.
Yeah, 1965.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they transferred it to the Okolona College, I believe it was in 1935. Before then, it was a normal institute type like I did a few months ago that I found over in Tremont. So, and this was primarily just for African Americans.
Yeah.
So that's another historic thing that I think is really neat is that you have that one. And then you have Russ College, you know, of course, up in Holly Springs. And then there's another one I'm going to do in a few months that's just north of New Albany. That's a the first black school in Union County.
Yeah.
Up there, which I found on an assignment. I'm going to go back up there and photograph that. So
you seem to have a thing for old abandoned schools.
Yeah, it's
or kinda, other places. Because you kinda, did the one near Tremont, and didn't you do that old golf course?
I did the old golf course.
Near Albany?
Yeah, the old country club up there.
It's something fascinating about places like that that have been abandoned for years and just have kind of fallen apart, like old theme parks that have fallen
apart.
Well,
it's kind of like lost history.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to go out looking for it. And you're going to forget about it, and at some point, they're not going to be there anymore.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like documenting the past and why they're still standing.
Yeah.
And so, and I do, I kind of have a creepy little fetish thing for these old buildings. I don't know why, but I love going into them and seeing what's left and just seeing what it looks like.
It is cool. I was, last year, you get all these BuzzFeed things, but and some of them are kind of cool because there's one showing it was one of the Olympic sites from back in maybe the 80s. I can't remember if it was Sarajevo.
Yes, Sarajevo.
And
yes.
It showed all like the bobsled and all these other facilities
just
that were
overgrown.
Completely overgrown and graffitied. And it was really kind of eerie looking because it still had like this big concrete bobsled track, but it was just overgrown. You couldn't tell besides the track that it was anything more than just a huge overgrown lot.
Yes.
And it was just fascinating.
You know, Waverly, the Waverly house was there for years. It sat abandoned.
Yeah.
You know, the grand piano's in there, all the banisters, it was still fully intact. And people used to have parties out there all the time until this family bought it, you know, 15, 20 years ago and basically brought it back to life.
Yeah.
That thing sat abandoned for almost 20 years.
Yeah, I've been out there a couple of times, and it's very nice now.
It's a beautiful house.
It's a beautiful area. Just that land is tucked back in the woods off Highway 51 or Highway
51.
51, yeah.
Yeah,
that's the place you could go shoot sometime.
Yeah,
because the grounds around it are kind of cool too.
Kind of cool. I like these old places just because your average citizen's not going to stop and go in there. They just kind of drive by and go, "Oh, that's kind of neat," or "What a shame."
Yeah.
And so you know, it gives somebody a perspective of what it actually looks like. Because I love going into them and just walking around and just documenting what's there. Because it's not going to be there much longer. It's going to be gone.
Yeah. So this coming Monday, what do we got on tap for In Focus? Can you tease us?
Well, what we had on tap has been bumped a week, so we've done a little flip-flopping because one got done early. So I'm going to let that be a surprise for Christmas morning.
Christmas morning?
Well, it's kind of like a Christmas morning. I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag.
I was like, I know I'm getting old, but did I lose track of what month we're in already? March.
It was supposed to have been Adam's. He has it already shot, but Lauren's needs to be shot first, and so she's jumping ahead of Adam this week. I'm not sure what she's doing.
So it's going
to
be good stuff.
It's going to be good stuff. It's always good stuff.
Well, I know what I'm saying. Yeah, but
you don't
want to give anything away.
I don't want to give anything away.
Okay.
Make it a surprise.
Look forward to Monday's paper then. Thomas.
Absolutely.
Enjoyed it at all, as always. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Be sure to watch the Daily Journal's Capital View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capital Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated by Mississippi lawmakers. You can watch live each Monday afternoon around 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. New episodes will be released as long as the legislature is in session.
And don't forget about Thrive Marketing, a full-service digital marketing company located here in Tupelo, providing websites, search engine optimization, social media management, email, text message services, for local business. Thrive.ms is where you can find them.
Time for the news memo.
Tis.
Yes, it is.
Past time.
For more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. The Senate Finance Committee approved a proposal to cut taxes by about $577 million over a 15-year period. The proposal was touted by Lieutenant Governor Tate Reeves. Opponents said it should not be considered when the state has pressing needs for health care, education, and infrastructure. The cut would reduce the state general fund revenue by 10%. Finance Committee Chairman Joey Fillinghain said the cut will give back to taxpayers and will result in additional revenue for the state. The measure now goes to the full Senate for more debate.
Plantersville Middle School received a $10,000 check from Toyota Mississippi on Wednesday. The grant money will be split between two programs at Plantersville. That includes a new after-school tutoring program and a life skills program for eighth graders. Toyota's Emily Wildman Holland said she had been impressed with the work being done to support students at Plantersville and the vision of the school's administrators.
Legislation being considered in Jackson would send Mississippi cities a larger share of sales tax revenue. That money would be earmarked for infrastructure projects such as water and sewer repairs and road resurfacing. Cities currently receive 18.5% of the state's sales tax collected within their boundaries. Last week, the Senate passed a bill that would send them an additional 1.5%. The bill must still be approved by the House.
The Natchez Trace Parkway wants to know what people think about a proposed access road to a planned Native American cultural facility. The agency is seeking public input through April 7th. Comments can be submitted online at parkplanning.mps.gov/NATR. Plans call for a 400-foot-long road to be built between the parkway and the Chickasaw Cultural Heritage Center. That center has been in the planning stages since early 2012.
More than 200 donors came to raise money for Tupelo to Flint's fundraiser last week. The newly formed organization raised $4,300 to purchase water from Sam's Club for those impacted by the Flint water crisis in Michigan. This weekend, they held a night of relaxation featuring various musical acts. Anyone can still donate to Tupelo to Flint until April 8th by writing a check payable to Tupelo to Flint and dropping it off at Bank Plus in Tupelo. It's Thursday. That means it's movie review day with M. Scott Morris. Hello, sir. Welcome back.
I'm just glad that you have me back to make this podcast great again.
That's why we do this every Thursday.
Mississippi is great again. Now the podcast is becoming great again.
By every Thursday, this podcast is just a mess, so we need you to make it great again, Scott.
I think the public feels that.
Oh, certainly. The movie you reviewed this week.
Speaking of a mess.
Yes. Whiskey Fango?
Whiskey Fango.
Try that again. Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, starring Tina Fey and some other lady not as famous as Tina Fey.
Margot Robbie has her fans.
Oh no doubt. I'm not downplaying her. I'm just saying Tina Fey has more name recognition.
No doubt, you're right.
But still, both fine actors
for the Saturday Night Live generation.
Yeah, both fine actors, but they're in this movie, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, which shortened is WTF, and we know what that normally means, but we can't say it.
Why the face? Show.
Why the face? Yeah, that's what I mean. Stars as this reporter covering the fighting in Afghanistan, based on a true story.
Yeah,
written by a lady named Kim Barker, who Tina Fey plays. So yeah. This kind of the previews make it look like a comedy. I know there's comedic elements, but you know you're in a war zone. It can't be like funny all the time. I don't guess. I guess it could be, but
I think you just gave my whole review away. You just told the whole review.
Okay, well, Scott,
I think that's
show.
All I have. No, I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, there's humor in it, but there are moments when I'm sitting in my chair very concerned for our heroine, Tina Fey, Kim Barker's life.
Yeah.
And you kind of know she's going to survive because it's so early in the film. But she goes to Afghanistan as a wisecracking American woman, and... you know, that's not going to fly over well on the streets of Afghanistan,
where
she gets called names right off the bat by people, nasty names, for not wearing a headscarf. And that one period in time, her life is in threat because she's not dressed properly or wearing a headscarf.
Yeah.
So she goes there and she's trying to manage this. She's also got job pressures, which we all know about job pressures, you know. But hers are, she's got to cover more and more extreme events to push through to the American public, because she goes to Afghanistan as the B team while the A team goes to Iraq.
Yeah.
So she basically becomes an adrenaline junkie.
Hmm.
And I got really into this film. When I said a mess, it was in reference to the WTF, because in the tradition of MASH, in the tradition of Catch-22, there's a whole up-is-down mentality to this, to where your best friends can become your enemies very quickly, and it's hard to know what to trust or what's going to happen next. The relationship that she forms, platonic, we'll go ahead and say, with Billy Bob Thornton's general, is really kind of fun to watch evolve. And there are a lot of different relationships in this film that start off one way and change and grow. Some get worse, some get better. And so, no, it's not a comedy. It's not like a slapstick event. It's a surreal travelogue in some ways through a war zone. I give it a B+. I was entertained. I didn't think it was a classic. It's not something I'm going to race to go see again. But as I sat there from start to finish, I was wondering, what's going to happen to this woman?
I guess we should leave the slapstick war movies to people like Larry the Cable Guy or something.
There you go. Pauly Shore did one years ago, did he not? We're in the Army now, something like that.
Pauly Shore. Oh, man. Just went back to the 90s on that one. Where's Pauly Shore these days? What's he even doing?
You know, his mother had owned the Comedy Store out in California.
Oh, that's right. She did.
I think he's... helping to manage that, I believe.
Huh, interesting. Anyway, this movie, like I said, it's got some moments of peril, a lot of real drama. How does, you know, Tina Fey, we're known as a comedic actor, but what kind of chops does she have when it comes to the more dramatic parts?
You know, I forgot it was Tina Fey. You know, she fell into character, and she this is a movie. I mean, it's not like you said, it's not a slapstick comedy. This is a movie that kind of takes over. One thing, one of the guys in the movie, it took me a while for him. He was Martin Freeman.
Yeah, Martin Freeman
played the Hobbit. I'm saying that's the Hobbit right there. When I realized who it was, and then he's like he's Watson from the Sherlock series.
Okay.
But it took me a while to get just beyond that, but not long because his character is so different from those characters that slips away as well. Part of it is, you know, we're journalists. I'm a feature journalist. I review. I'm not being asked to go to Afghanistan the way that our photographer Thomas Wells went to Iraq and Jennifer Ferris, who used to work here, went there. And so, but you know, you have a certain kindred spirit with these people just because. You know, I use the same kind of notebooks they use, and in some level, you kind of see what they're doing, and you have some kind of tenuous connection, and I think that played up. My wife, Michaela, who works here, she really enjoyed the movie too, and for her, it was seeing a female journalist being an international journalist and doing what it takes to get the story. Yeah. And in that case, you know, I've been in situations in my career where I feared for my life. In Alabama,
well, haven't we all been there?
Hey, it's God's country for a reason, and so you can see some of these tight situations people get into because you ask questions, even if they're innocuous questions, you can set somebody off sometimes.
Yeah,
and so my wife loved it. She loved being able to see, and you know, the difference between MASH and the difference between Catch-22 with Whiskey Tango Foxtrot is that it's a woman's story.
Yeah.
And it's a woman's experience in a war zone. And that makes it unique, and I think people might enjoy that aspect of it.
And Tina Fey's co-star, we mentioned earlier, Margot Robbie. She's it's kind of a... they're kind of opposites, aren't they? Which usually plays well in this sort of movie, I would guess. She's more of the have-a-good-time type. I mean, so is Tina Fey, but it's like the adrenaline junkie. Like you said, this girl just likes to, I guess, party.
Yeah, well, I guess she's been in the zone longer, and okay. So when Tina Fey gets there, I mean, there is a transition with Tina Fey's character, you know, that to kind of she progresses through the film, but no doubt Margot Robbie's character is more progressed into the surreal life of having this enclave hotel in a war zone where it's a country where you can't drink. Unless you're in that hotel, apparently, unless you're in that compound where the Western journalists blow off steam with all the threat they're under. Yeah, so, a fine performance also by Alfred Molina and Billy Bob Thornton I mentioned, and also a guy named Christopher Abbott who plays Tina Fey's or Kim Barker's interpreter and guide. It's a very low key performance, but it was really a powerful part of the movie by the end of it.
Okay.
So,
okay.
A lot of relationships grow and change through the course of the movie. That was a nice aspect of it.
Okay. Y'all can read the review in today's journal or at djournal.com. M. Scott Morris, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
So check out today's scene section as well, not just for Scott's movie review, but for Derek's updates on what's happening this weekend. What we got going on, Derek? We got a play going on this weekend.
We do. Our own Leslie TCT. Chris is the lead in A Higher Place in Heaven. We discussed last week with her in the studio. That opens tonight, as a matter of fact.
Sure does.
The Lyric downtown runs through Saturday.
Okay.
So you've got four chances to see that show, 7:30 tonight, 7:30 Friday, 7:30 Saturday, and also 2 o'clock on Saturday.
So okay.
844-1935. Get your tickets for TCT's latest show, A Higher Place in Heaven. Also, West of Shake Rag, Two Blows Improv Comedy Group, has their show this Saturday night at 7:30 p.m. So you won't want to miss that as well.
Cool.
Hey,
you know, if you had something else, go ahead.
No.
I was just going to ask you about the Ernie Hudson story.
Ernie Hudson, actor, speaking at the Our Mississippi Honors Banquet Saturday night at the Bancorp South Conference Center. That is, I believe, in their third year of doing this, I think. Maybe second
or third.
I'm not entirely sure, but that event going to honor Jack Reed Sr. and
William Winter.
William Winter, of course. So
tickets are $100.
$100 includes dinner.
But you get to listen to Ernie Hudson, one of the original Ghostbusters.
One of the Ghostbusters.
Speak, and you got to talk to him for free on the phone. How was that?
I interviewed him for just what he's going to be speaking about. He's not only an actor, he's a writer and a very accomplished public speaker, so he will be the keynote Saturday night. He's a great guy, good actor. Always have enjoyed his work. It was great to talk to him. So yeah, he's got a really interesting story coming up, being a single dad in Hollywood. He and his wife divorced, and his kids went and lived with him, which he says that didn't happen back then. They usually stayed with the mom, so the kids went with him, and he moved to Hollywood to try and make it as an actor.
Yeah, he was born way back in 45. I didn't realize he was that old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's 70, I guess.
So,
so did you have to restrain yourself from not going all fanboy like Chris Farley in that old SNL skits?
Well, I wouldn't call it fanboy, but I mean, I've interviewed several hundred people over the years.
I know, but this is Ghostbusters.
Look at me.
Ernie, remember that time in Ghostbusters when you said, that's a big Twinkie?
I met Dan Aykroyd about 10 years ago, awesome. And that was the little...
Yeah. That would be surreal. Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah. I mean, does he sound like he does the movie? Yeah. I mean, was there like a surreal moment that you felt like
that was Winston talking? No, I don't know. I mean,
ask him to quote lines from the
movie? I did not ask him to quote. No, you respect.
I know.
You respect that somebody did something 30 years ago and maybe they want to, you know, branch out from that just a little bit. I mean, he obviously very much honors the legacy that those films.
Did he say, I love this interview?
He did not say anything.
Did you at least ask him about the new movie?
We did talk about the new movie at length a little bit, so he's got some thoughts.
Does he?
Yeah.
Off the record thoughts?
No, he's actually in it.
Because
Harold Ramis passed away last year, but the three of them do appear, and so he was excited to be part of that. He said it was very reverent on set when the three of them showed up there's kind of an air of, he didn't say, I asked him if there was an air of reverence, and he said it was very cool just to be back and be in some of the old locations again. And
That's cool.
Doing the thing again. Obviously, they're not playing themselves. This is a new movie. It doesn't seem to be a sequel happening 30 years later. It is a reboot to the franchise, so he is playing a different character in the film. But
interesting.
But just to be back and see all the equipment and see the car and all that kind of stuff.
When does that open?
He was excited about July.
July, that's right. Still got a ways. What else did we haven't seen section your column? I haven't read it yet, I admit.
Well, there's no point in talking about it.
It's like it's about James Bond.
It is about James Bond.
So I'm definitely going to have to read it.
Fallout recently of Daniel Craig discussing whether or not he's leaving the franchise and could a black actor replace him.
I don't see why not. I mean, a lot of people like Idris Elba for that role.
That's mentioned in here as well.
I figured so. So Daniel Craig is not doing it anymore?
We don't know. It's,
haven't kept up with that.
We're not sure if he's going to return for a fifth time as 007 or not.
So. I liked him in the role. I thought he was pretty good.
So we'll see.
You know, one thing on that point, we were talking after the Oscars, and of course, you know, as we talked on the show, if that was a big criticism of the Oscars, and that you played it throughout the night, that there were black actors, actresses nominated for the awards, and you know, of course, you could criticize the judges, but you know, then the criticism also comes to, you know, more roles, of course, for black actors and actresses, and then the other line says, well, you know, if it's a historical movie, and you know, then you've got to have a white actor play the part of someone who was white that they're portraying, but you know, I mean, maybe that's where the movement has to go. Is exactly, you know, what you said. I mean, kind of like the Hamilton musical is doing, is having an African-American play George Washington and so forth. And
I don't see a problem with it in this instance. I think, though, as long as you keep, and my argument in the column is you keep the things that make him who he is, you know, the Aston Martin and the British Secret Service agent.
The drinking, the womanizing, all that good
stuff. Well, I touch on the womanizing a little bit, but obviously there's been great strides in the franchise in recent years not to make him as misogynistic as he once was and sexist. Roger Moore.
It's part of his charm, right?
That's my least favorite Bond to make the most films. But I don't know. We'll see where they take it. It's one of the longest-lasting characters on screen. So
I hope this franchise never stops. I enjoy most of the Bond movies I've seen.
I don't really ever see it running out of steam. I think there's always something new they can do with it. Also, Lee County Library this month has a number of art exhibits going on throughout their campus, both on the main floor and up in the Helen Foster Auditorium. So don't miss those three different exhibits going on until March 31st.
And I wanted to mention the Amory Railroad Festival.
Yes, Amory Railroad Festival coming up in April. We've got an advance on the different musical acts that'll be going on.
Joe D. Messina and Doug Stone. Takes me back to my days as a country DJ.
What was your name? Right.
Shut up. Yeah, I went by Wayne for a brief time.
It's appropriate with that thing on your face.
True.
You look like a Wayne.
Yeah. So, yeah, that takes me right back to some good times. No, quick trivia, Doug Stone, his last name is not actually Stone.
As is with most musicians.
But it's Doug Brooks. But he hit the scene about the same time as Garth did, so he's like, I need to go by something else to distinguish myself.
With so it's Kix Doug later?
Well, yeah.
And then Kix Brooks came along after that. But no, he's part of a duo, and it's Kix. So
K-I-X, as I learned earlier this week.
Yes. So for all your 90s country trivia, God bless listen country to the memo. Music.
It's beyond help 90s
country,
at this point.
Man, I love it.
90s
love
country.
90s country.
What was 80s country? Was there 80s country? Like, give me an example of 80s country.
A lot of it was pretty terrible. Yeah, I mean, he had exceptions because he still had some of the old guys still making music.
Country music is pretty terrible.
He still had Charlie Daniels.
George Jones was still making music.
George
Jones.
Breaking Heart, was that 80s?
That was 90s.
That was 90s. You had, you still had some good artists back then. You had, I just had someone in mind that I forgot now. Actually, Garth hit the scene in the late 80s.
Did he? Good for him.
Late 88, 89. Chris Ledoux, of course, he wasn't mainstream, but he was doing he did it from like the
Chris
70s
Chris
Ledoux? On. Chris Ledoux. You don't know about Chris Ledoux?
I don't know.
Bronco riding champion, world champion, way back in the day. And then he had always done music and turned that and ended
now,
up having a really
look,
pretty good music
career. I look up best 80s country songs and Islands in the Stream is on here. Islands in the Stream is not a country song. Is it?
I don't know who sings that.
Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers.
Yes, I don't have much of Dolly's.
Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers. That sounds like country.
That can't be a country
song.
That's
just song. Like the Eagles. I would argue, mostly just to be contrarian, that.
I will come across this table if you call Eagles country.
I like Eagles. I like the Eagles. I know they're rock, but I've heard them classified as country.
That is,
so
they
I used
are
to
not
just
country.
Always play that role to that because it really upset a guy.
That
a friend of mine at Ole Miss.
Will upset me. The Eagles are not country. Number 9. On the top 80s
George
country
Strait
songs.
Came along in
George
the 80s.
Strait,
he's good.
All My Exes Live in Texas. That good was song. In the 80s. Yeah. That was in 87.
Do you remember that old YouTube video of that that boy? Did y'all ever see that? It had gone viral at a... he was memorizing his Bible verses, or he was singing. It was singing a song that went through all the books of the Bible, and then at the end, he broke into "All My Exes Live in Texas."
No, I must have missed that one.
5, 6.
Wow. Number 8, Restless Heart. Never heard of Restless Heart.
I have that.
I'll still be loving you. 1987. Apparently, 1987 was the year.
Yeah, 80s were a bad decade for music in general.
Number 7 again, 1987. Randy Travis, "Forever and Ever, Amen."
I like Randy Travis. Okay, all right. He turned into a covenant. Crazy man.
Yeah, didn't he go crazy?
Pretty much.
Barbara Mandrell
in
1981.
Mandrell
I was
sisters.
Country when country wasn't cool.
Yeah,
I remember that one.
Remember that one. Yeah,
Keith Whitley, When You Say Nothing At All. Oh, that is country.
Keith
that
Whitley,
is country.
R.I.P.
Oh, that's terrible.
I love me some Keith Whitley.
88. That's a terrible song.
He died of like a drug overdose.
Willie Nelson, Always On My Mind.
Willie Nelson was still making good music. Still is, I guess.
That's of course, more famous as an Elvis
talking
song.
Kenny Rogers, when did The Gambler come out?
Gambler was like 83.
I can't remember. No, Johnny Cash passed on that song.
The Gambler's a good song.
Johnny Cash could have recorded that song, and he didn't. Okay. Of course, the 80s, Johnny made a lot of bad artistic decisions.
1978.
78.
It was a lot older than I thought it was.
From about the mid-70s until his Rick Rubin revival, Johnny Cash made a lot of bad artistic choices.
Dolly Parton, I Will Always Love You.
Yeah.
Whitney Houston
Dolly's
song.
Okay. I just never like been super into her music. She's fine.
I can't wait to see what gets number 1, because number 2 is Lee Greenwood, God Bless the USA.
Good gosh almighty.
So,
that song, really?
84.
Jeez.
Resurgence after the devastating events of 9/11. I don't know. I can't wait to see what number 1
is. I'm so sick of that song.
You ready for this?
And I'm patriotic, but I'm sick of that song.
George Jones, He Stopped Loving Her Today. I will
possibly
accept.
The greatest country song of all time. Some people would argue that.
won a Grammy and a CMA award both in 1980 and 1981.
It's in my top five of all-time country songs.
What is your top five, Brad?
That's a good question. I could probably give you that one. You could make a good argument for The Dance by Garth, putting that one in there.
It's a good one.
Trying to think. I mean, Folsom Prison Blues, Johnny Cash, that's probably one of my favorites of his. That could be in the running for top five. I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry, Hank Sr. Love that one. It's a classic. So that's four. I'm trying to think of a fifth one to throw in there. Maybe something more recent. Although,
well, that one right there. Did you count that?
Which one?
Derek just said?
Yeah, I counted that one.
Well, go back through again. What did you say?
I had that one. He Stopped Loving Her Today by George Jones. What did I say? Johnny Cash, Folsom Prison Blues.
The Dance
by Garth. Hank Williams Sr.
I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry. You got one more.
I need one more out of all that. I'm trying to go through.
Garth Brooks Calling Baton Rouge.
It's a good song, but...
Alan Jackson.
I love me some Alan Jackson.
God.
But I was trying to think of something by either Willie or Waylon or Merle. Something by one of those guys. He got Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain.
Grow Up to Be Cowboys.
Don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. But I'll tell you what, I might put in top five, Poncho and Lefty. Willie and Merle.
Yeah. Poncho and Lefty.
Oh, there's a great version of that. The Giants fan in me, Jake Peavy, did it. He and Tim Flannery, who was a Giants third base coach, and they're both very musical. And so when Peavy came after in the trade in 2014, they're in a hallway in a staircase of a hotel in Denver playing that. It's really good.
That's funny. Yeah, that's one of my favorites right there.
As long as they weren't at the Denver airport.
I need to go through and really like nail down a top five list. I've got all those songs on my iPod, so I should make a playlist of my...
Well, when you drive around in the ice cream truck with that thing on your face, make sure you play those as loud as possible.
Okay. Especially...
so the kids will run away from you.
Okay. I'll do that. I'll play... Folsom Prison Blues at top volume. Kill the man in Reno just to watch him die.
All my actors live
free
in
ice cream. Okay. But the Amory Railroad Festival, we got way off on a tangent. I want to go to that just because Joe DiMessina and Doug Stone, but it's the same weekend as the play we're doing, Derek. Can't go.
Yep.
That's too bad.
That'd be all right.
Oh, well. Okay, I guess that's it. Should probably let people go do something else.
Let them go.
Other than listen to us. You can follow us on Twitter at DJournalMemo. You can follow me on Twitter at Brad Locke. Derek at W. Derek Russell.
That's me.
Chris Kiefer at Chris Kiefer.
Also, don't forget at DJournal Now and DJournal.com where you can find the stories we discussed today also in your issue of today's Daily Journal.
That's right. And we will be back next week on Monday.
That we will.
I ran into Jason Hayden at Cafe G12 the other day. He said he's supposed to be back on the show next week. That's what he told me.
Hey, that works for me. Mustache bash?
Yeah, he said, Derek, don't look like me. You're the one that told him.
No, I said I'd love to sit down and talk to you about Mustache Bash for the story in Thursday's paper. Okay. But Jason, come on the show too while you're at
it. We'll make it happen. Also on Monday's show is the winner of the Entertain Us contest. Could be your Blake Gupta will be here on Monday.
He's a fourth grader. Freaking fourth grader.
Pretty sharp.
Okay. All right, that's it. Until Monday, have a super fantastic weekend, everybody.